Church family, happy Sunday morning to you. Hopefully the Lord has been really ministering to you during this time. It's been very difficult being away from you for so long. We're praying that maybe some things happen here in the future where we can get back to seeing each other again soon. So we are definitely praying for that way. And so hopefully the Lord's really been showing you some things during this week, and that's been during this time. And that's been my prayer, is that during this time we're spending maybe a little bit more time in our homes, that we spend that extra time seeking the Lord in prayer and His Word, and allow Him to really speak to us or minister to us depending on what our needs are during this time. A couple of notes that we wanted to mention this morning. Be looking out for a newsletter. Pastor Dave and Pastor Spencer and myself put together a newsletter, which is going to give you some updated information, and then also some things that we're hoping that can happen in the very near future. So be looking out for that newsletter. But also on that newsletter, if you look on the back, some have mentioned they haven't been able to keep up with the prayer requests because we used to have a sheet that went out every Sunday. Well, be looking on that back of that sheet, because there's a list of prayer requests, recent prayer requests that you can kind of really start maybe being specific in your prayer time. So be looking for that newsletter this week. And then also, hopefully you're keeping up with the scripture reading. You'll see that this week's scripture reading is at the bottom of your screen there. So please continue to keep up with that scripture reading. Again, for those that maybe haven't started, start with this week. And it's chronological, so just keep praying through, and then maybe you can pick up what you've missed on the back end of it. So let me challenge you to continue to seek the Lord in prayer and also in His Word, and keep up with that scripture reading. Prayerfully, you've already been blessed by the special by Brothers Greg Snare and Tanya Smith. And so now we are excited about getting into the Word of God and looking at a path to patience. To patience. We'll be in James chapter 1, so if you want to turn there as we begin in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for our time here today as we look at a path to patience. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts and our lives, drawing us closer to you this morning. Lord, I pray that even though we are confined in our homes, not worshiping in the sanctuary, Lord, I pray that we would continue to worship you today, that it's your day, and we keep our eyes focused on you and your word. So, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon me as we continue in your word this morning. I know it's already been a blessing with Brother Greg Snare special and Tanya. Now, Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing in time in your word. Be with me, Lord, as I preach. Fill me with your spirit. Give me the words to say, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated if you stood up in your home. A little bit of in-church humor there. A path to patience. A path to patience. We're in James chapter 1 and verses 1 through 8. Now, I was really praying about maybe doing a series in James, but doing a little bit of research, I know that in our adult Sunday school class, we just recently had gone through the book of James. So I decided to maybe just stay with this one particular sermon that I really felt the Lord was putting on my heart during this time. And we're in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A path to patience. Now, this is by no means the only way to patience, but I believe it truly is a way to have patience, to have faithful patience in the Lord. Well, looking at the word patience in the English dictionary, first it says bearing or enduring pain, difficulty, provocation, annoyance with calmness. So all those things, enduring all those things with calmness. A second definition is being tolerant or understanding. The third definition, and this is the one that I really believe that James wants us to embrace this morning and looking in this text, is patience being persevering and constant. Now, to many, you know, patience is a difficult word to say. I know that I'm probably speaking to those that are maybe 40 years old or older. Many of you may remember the show Happy Days. And the Fonz, author Fonzarelli, he may realize that he had been wrong about a situation, but it was the one word he could never get himself to say. He'd always go, he couldn't get out the word wrong. Well, I think when it comes to patience, many of us have a difficult time saying the word patience, but also it might be harder for us to do. You know, it may be difficult for even us to admit sometimes that we struggle with patience in our lives. You know, again, we can be tolerant and understanding and endure pain and difficulty with endurance. But it's important for us to really grasp the importance of persevering and being constant in our lives as believers and in our faith. Yes, we are to endure pain and difficulties, you know, with calmness. Yes, we are to be a tolerant and understanding, but I believe the Lord this morning wants us to persevere and be constant in how we handle the trials and tribulations for our benefit as well as glorifying the Lord. And I know during this time, this pandemic, this crisis, this recession, you know, it's I believe the Lord really wants us as believers to be persevering, to be constant in our faith, and in our patience in handling this trial, not wavering and not fretting and not trying to do things in our own strength. You know, Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. There's nothing too hard for God. He's in control of all of this. And like I mentioned, I believe last week, I saw an email from one of our believers and she said, God's got this. And he does. You know, Paul's writing to this young preacher, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:2. He says, be instant, in season and out of season. Well, the word instant, going back to the Greek, reflects a couple different things. First, it reflects a particular point in time. Be instant. But then also it expresses urgency and consistency in a time of need. So at all times, in all seasons, we are to be instant. We are to be consistent and persistent in our lives as believers. The world must see this. Your family members that don't know Christ must see a faithful perseverance and patience in our lives. If you have your Bibles, hopefully you do, keep your finger on James there and turn just a few pages back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, we're to lay aside the weight of tribulation and sin. You know, laying aside, going back to the Greek, is it's not just laying it aside so you can pick it right back up. It's casting it away. It's putting it away. It's getting rid of it. Now, I remember when I was playing college basketball, I worked hard on being able to jump high and run fast. And I worked with weights. And I even did ankle weights on my ankles. And I used to try to jump with them on and run with them on so that when I had them off, I could run faster and jump higher. That's the mentality here of casting aside that weight which hinders us in our lives as believers. He also says, run with patience. Well, going back to the Greek for patience, it reflects also perseverance or endurance. That we're to run with perseverance and endurance the race that is set before us. And that race is our lives as believers. Our Christian lives. But he also says that Jesus, looking to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, the creator and the finalizer of our faith, is Christ and Christ alone. It's not in our president or our vice president, as much as we may like them. It's not in them. Our faith is not in our government. Our faith is not even in our doctor. Our faith is in Christ and Christ alone. And we have to remember today, as we're going through this difficulty, that not only are we to trust him, but we're to wait on him. Psalm 27, 14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Twice. Wait on the Lord. Proverbs 20, 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. So don't say that you'll take care of evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So often we try to do things in our own strength instead of realizing that God is going to take care of it. God will save us. God is in control. And I think this is an area in our lives where many believers struggle with impatience. You know, we try to do things in our own strength or we try to take matters into our own hands. Last week we looked at Sarah, who did just that. Because of a lack of faith, because of a lack of faithful patience in the Lord, she made a very poor decision, several poor decisions, because she didn't trust the Lord, and it affected the lives of Abraham, it affected the lives of Hagar, and it affected the life of Ishmael. And so we have to be careful that we're not trying to do these things in our own strength, in our own knowledge, but trust the Lord to save us. In our text this morning, James, the half-brother of Jesus, is trying to encourage the development of patience for a vital result, which is the growth of faith. The growth of faith. And so James' theme, as we know here, going back to our text, the theme of James is spiritual maturity. But I think specifically here, he is trying to stress the importance of developing that faith for the purpose of service that ultimately will result in spiritual maturity. You know, our faith in Christ should produce service. It should produce works. Works should be the fruit of our faith. You know, it's interesting here as we look at James that that even though he was the half-brother of Jesus, even though that he lived in the same home of the Messiah, that he did not, his conversion to Christ did not occur until after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you'd like to turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, than of all the apostles." So think about this for a minute. Think about the fact that James lived with the Messiah. I know I have a brother, and there were many times we would sit in our bedroom, maybe after it was bedtime, and we were in our bed, and we would talk with one another, and there was conversations that we would have as brothers that maybe my parents didn't know about. Well, think about the conversations that occurred between Jesus and James, that the things that maybe even Mary and Joseph didn't even know themselves. And yet he lived with the Messiah, yet he did not come to a saving knowledge of Christ until after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Now, it is believed that part of this was because James grew up highly influenced by the Mosaic law, and that also he was very pharisaical in his thinking until he trusted Christ as Savior. And now here, as we see here in this text, as the leader of the church in Jerusalem, he's now challenging these believers, these Jewish believers, of a simple truth. A simple truth that the only proof to this world that our faith is real is a changed life. The only real evidence or proof that our faith is real to a lost world is a changed life. And what he's doing is emphasizing the importance of the testimony. Importance of our testimony for Jesus Christ. And we have to realize during this time, as we're having conversations with people, maybe in our driveway, that our lives might be the only Bible that someone sees. Our lives might be the only Bible that a lost person sees. Now, some have claimed that James's emphasis on works was the result of his influence of Judaism, and that he was influenced by Judaism. But in studies and really comparing him with his writings with Paul, it's obvious that he was in alignment with Paul. It's obvious that he is stating here that works or service is the result or the byproduct of faith in Christ. Works are that produced fruit of salvation. Now, I had a pastor friend of mine that used to say that we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. And you may be saying, well, Pastor Rich, what does that mean? What does that mean to be saved to serve? Well, once we are saved, we are predestined at that point to live like Christ. We are predestined to serve like Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29. She said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You know, when we trust Christ as Savior, we are now predestined to live like Christ. We are predestined to serve like Christ. And that's what this world must see in our lives. But James is writing this letter, as we see here in verse 1, to the persecuted church. the persecuted Jews that were scattered across the Roman Empire, and they were scattered due to the affliction that they were enduring. And so what he's trying to do is give them encouragement in having patience in the Lord during those trials and tribulation times of life. You know, today we're enduring this crisis, and I believe the Lord wants to encourage our patience. He wants to encourage us to be patient in the Lord and trusting Him. He wants us to be patient for the Lord and glorifying the Lord to this world, to those around us. But I also believe He wants us to be patient for us as believers as we look to develop spiritual maturity in our lives. A path to patience in our walk as believers is a path to spiritual maturity. Now, I only have 2 points this morning. And so some may be going, yes, Pastor Rich has a shorter sermon today. Well, those that know me know that's probably not likely. But we only have 2 points. And the first is the patent. The patent. Looking back in our text in verses 1-4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, James lays down the patent to patience. How important is that blueprint? You know, when you're talking about completing a task or maybe building a house or a building, how important is that blueprint? Well, I'm sure to the contractor, it's vital. It's vital to have that blueprint. Well, James begins his letter showing the development of patience. He is showing the development of patience, and he begins this letter, as I just mentioned, as the leader of the church of Jerusalem. Some have mentioned that his title was the first bishop of the Jewish Christian church. The first bishop of the Jewish Christian church. Now, in our New Testament Bible, we see that James may be towards the back of the New Testament. But ultimately, it was written around 45 to 50 AD and is actually believed to be one of the first epistles written. After the stoning of Stephen around 35 AD, James is looking to bring encouragement to these persecuted believers that are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. But he also writes as a humble servant. The word servant there in verse 1 is the Greek word doulos, which means bond slave. And so we see that with a sincere and humble heart, James is humbling himself to serve the Lord. But also notice here in verse 1 that James uses Jesus' whole name. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord there in the Greek is Kyrios, which was a name given by Hellenistic Jews for God. And so that we see that not only was James identifying himself as Jesus' brother, but he was also identifying himself as a follower of Jesus Christ. He was also identifying Jesus as God and also his Savior. James was recognizing the Messiah who came to this world to die for the sins of this world. Second verse, we see that James begins to develop a thought process that at first look seems to be hard to grasp. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Joy and temptations, that seems really hard to grasp, especially nowadays. Now, something I want to address here quick is the word temptation there is not referring to temptation to sin, but actually in the Greek, diverse temptations is referring to various trials. And so that we can see that even in what we're going through now, that it can be difficult to find joy going through the trials and tribulations of life. What we're going through now, it's probably difficult to find joy. He says here, count it all joy. Count, hagiomai in the Greek is to think about, consider or evaluate. So he's saying, consider a joy or evaluate the many and various trials to find value. Evaluate these trials to find value. Well, how do we find value in these trials? Well, we have to realize that the value comes from the development of our patient faith in the Lord, trusting in His perfect timing and His perfect will. And so after James makes this puzzling statement, he begins to explain. Now, praise the Lord, James is one of those that doesn't just make a suggestion without the solution. And yes, we know the solution comes by divine inspiration of God. But it's interesting here that not only is he making a suggestion, he's also providing a solution. He's saying, consider it joy when you go through various trials, knowing this. So here comes the solution. Knowing this, that the trying, now going to the Greek trying, the trying means the testing or the proving of your faith. The only thing that our faith, the only way that our faith can be developed or increased is by the trying and testing of it. Yes, we may not enjoy going through the trial or the tribulation, but it's necessary for development. And it's the only, it's only by difficulty can our faith be exposed and then developed. Now, a key here that we'll see here in James' text is that he's saying that, you know, when faith is implemented during our trial, then faith is developed. I'm going to say that again. It's only when our faith is implemented with the trial that our faith is developed and increased. You know, again, going back to the text, is knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. Again, going back to the Greek, that also reflects worketh patience, developing, persevering, endurance. Well, that sounds like the definition that we read, that we got from the English dictionary as we started. Developing, persevering, endurance. And so the testing of our faith, if we let it develop, develops a persevering endurance. Helps us endure those future times of testing, those future times of difficulty, because we trust the Lord back then, and we're also going to trust him going forward. And which really brings us to the challenge that we're enduring today. You know, it can be very easy for us in these difficult circumstances. We have to put on masks. I've talked to many people on the phone, and how the first thing they say is, I hate wearing the masks. I think we all agree that that is a circumstance that is unpleasurable. You know, missing family, missing our church family, not being in church, all these different circumstances. You know, we have to be careful that we don't allow them to cause frustration in our life. We have to embrace the fact that with the testing of our faith, it develops a persevering endurance for the future trials and tribulations. And that's also including the trials and tribulations we are presently going through in our lives. Again, the goal here is spiritual maturity. And that's what we're hopefully doing through these difficult times, is allowing the Lord to mold us and create spiritual maturity in our lives. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James gives us the solution, but that doesn't come without a choice. It says, but let patience. You know, he's giving instruction and he's giving encouragement about the choice that we should make, but ultimately it's still a choice. We can choose to let patience have its perfect work, or we can choose not to. You know, every aspect of our lives as believers is a choice. First, we have to choose if we're going to trust Jesus Christ of our Lord and Savior. We're going to choose to we have to choose that we're going to repent of our sin and turn from our sin. And we've got to choose by faith to trust Christ and the finished work on the cross, his glorious resurrection. And we have to choose by faith to trust him as Savior. So right away, even when it comes to our lives as believers, it's a choice. But even after that, it's still a choice. We have to choose that we're going to live for Christ or not. We have to choose if we're going to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ or not. We have to choose if we're going to be obedient to the Word of God or not. We have to choose if we are going to let patience have her perfect work in our life or not. You know, in the second part of verse 4 there, the word perfect, teleos in the Greek, means complete. Another reference towards spiritual maturity, spiritual completion. That's the goal that we should be having in our lives as believers, being spiritually complete. And so the perfect work here in verse 4 is the working of God in our lives towards spiritual maturity. That perfect work is the working of God in our lives to help create or produce spiritual maturity in our lives. Now, it's important to note that trials don't produce faith. Trials don't produce faith. It's when trials are received with faith that it produces patience, a faithful patience, and where we are faithfully trusting God for not only His perfect will, but also for His perfect timing and accomplish what He wants to accomplish in our lives. But we have to remember, it's not our will. We should not be seeking our will. We should be seeking God's will. In Matthew 26, 39, Jesus prayed before He fell into the hands of sinful men, before that He had to be judged by those that were sinners, before He had to be beaten, before He had to hang on an old rugged cross. He spends time in prayer. And in verse 20, chapter 26 and 39 of Matthew, He says, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as my will, but as thou will." Jesus didn't just say, "Oh my Father," like we start our normal prayer. He fell on His face and He cried out to His Father, "If it be possible." Well, we know that Jesus knew it was possible. He knew that God could have called 10,000 angels to deliver Jesus. But He knew that it was not His will that was to be done, but God's. And He knew that He had to hang on that old rugged cross. It's not about our will. It's about God's will. And if we aren't patient during trials and difficulties, if we respond in a way of a lack of faith or unbelief, the only thing that is produced is bitterness and discouragement, which then brings us back to what James says in the middle of his opening there in his letter. Consider or count it joy when you fall or experience various trials. Because when they are accomplished with faith, when they are accomplished with trusting that God will work all things out for our good, it produces patience. It produces a patience in God's perfect timing of His perfect will. Second, we see the pursuit. As I finish up here, the pursuit, verses 5 through 8. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." James encourages a pursuit of godly wisdom. James shows the necessity of patience in those trials to expose our need for godly wisdom. To expose our need for godly wisdom. Verse 5, he says, "Giveth to all men liberally." Well, going back to the Greek, that means giveth to all men simply. It's simple. And God made it that way on purpose. He simply longs to help us and guide us in our lives. And so remember, James' ultimate goal here is to these afflicted, scattered believers, and he was trying to encourage them to spiritual maturity. And James encourages here a practical discernment, because wisdom is the exercising of the practical use of knowledge in our lives. Now, as believers, we are to be seeking wisdom and knowledge from the Lord. Well, how do we receive that, Pastor Rich? We receive it through His Word. We receive it through His Holy Spirit. And we should be seeking the practical wisdom of God. And what James is stating here is that during these various trials in life, godly wisdom is more important than knowledge. Yes, knowledge is important. Don't get me wrong. It's important. But godly wisdom is vital in patiently navigating through the trial. You know, I could sit here and I could read this book, you know, from cover to cover, and I can read it and read it and read it and have all the knowledge here of this book, but it's not until I go out and I experience the things I need to experience and gain that wisdom that's vital to success. It's not just knowledge, but it's also wisdom that we get from the Lord. And so to receive that patient wisdom, we only need to first simply ask God, But then second, simply ask in faith. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We are to simply ask God, but we are also to ask in faith. We are to ask him in a way that we are confident in what God is doing in our lives, totally and completely trusting in his sovereignty, his working in our life as believer. And too often, I don't think we ask in faith. I don't think we confidently trust the Lord often that our desires, that he will grant our desires according to his perfect will. But we have to remember, it's a simple question with a simple faith. Matthew 17:20, after the disciples couldn't remove that demon, they come to Jesus and they say, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus responded in Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, as we finish up here in verse 7 and 8, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, don't ask the Lord if we're not even going to have a child's faith. Don't ask the Lord if we're going to go and try to work those things out for ourselves and not trust in him to save us and his sovereign hand in our lives. Don't even ask the Lord if you're not going to be patient enough to wait on God's perfect will according to his perfect timing in our lives. Verse 8 is interesting because James uses a proverb here in verse 8. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded means to ask, but to ask with doubt, not really truly believing. And so he uses this proverb with Israel as the example. How often did Israel turn to its right and turn to its left without really seeking God and having a patient faithfulness and waiting for God's perfect will and perfect timing for their lives? How often did they go without simply asking for God's wisdom and faith? And so as I close, I want us to focus on what mistakes Israel made and make sure we don't make those as a body of believers in the New Testament church. You know, are we going to make the same mistakes? Are we going to go through this pandemic and the trials and tribulations in our lives without seeking the Lord's face? Are we going to go through these times without patiently and faithful waiting for God's perfect timing and will to be accomplished in our lives? Are we going to go through our life here simply without simply asking God for wisdom in faith? And so my prayer is as we continue on here, that we continue to seek the Lord patiently, faithfully, trusting in his timing, and then asking God for wisdom as we maneuver through this trial. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here this morning. Lord, I pray that something would be a blessing. I know that your word never returns void, and we're trusting in that. And so, Lord, I pray that as believers, as we're confined in our homes and we're going through circumstances that are difficult and it's causing frustration and strife, Lord, I pray that we would allow your peace and your spirit to speak to us in a very real and intimate way. I pray that we would continue to seek your face as a body of believers. I pray that we would patiently and faithfully trust in your perfect will and your perfect timing. But then, Lord, I also pray as we navigate through this trial that we faithfully seek godly wisdom. And so, Lord, I pray that the believers of Grace Bible Church and maybe believers that are outside of our church family would realize the path of patience. And that's looking to you, trusting you, and allowing you to produce something that brings you glory, that produces spiritual maturity or completion in our lives as believers. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon us as we continue to live for you and serve you during this time, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for tuning in. I pray that that was a blessing. Again, be looking out for that newsletter, those that are in our congregation at Grace Bible Church. And again, if you have any needs, please don't hesitate to call us at the church. We're praying for you. We love you. We miss you. And we pray God's perfect will for our lives. Thank you for tuning in. God bless. Have a great day.